Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Mama Joy.
And I'm Reverend Rosemary.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
All right. Welcome to the Female Solution Global Radio. And for those who are watching TV, on the TV show as well. I'm here. Mama Joy. And Rosemary, you there? Okay, well, I tell you, well, we're going to see what's happening. Unmute yourself. All righty. Let's see. We're going to move right along, and we just want to welcome each and every one of you here. We know this is Women's History Month, and believe it or not, it's 36 years old. You say, how long have we been here? I have to think about it. It's kind of comical in a way. It's only 36 years, but I think, well, better late than never. Here in America, we've been celebrating Women's Month. It's always been a challenge for us here, you know. And so I'm celebrating and looking at it in a different way, you know. Because of so many things happening to us, we just haven't been able to have the kind of relationships or awarenesses of who we are, where we fit, how we are valued. And our topic today, really, and whatever is on your mind is who's loving you? You know, who's loving you? And find out, how are you celebrating this Women's Month? What are your feelings about a woman's history and learning so much about women and so many different ways that we have not had an opportunity to before? Okay, so I'm going to just ask that we can just hold on for a second. We're having a little technical challenge here. To bring you into our show today. So we're exploring about building and loving relationships, and where do we begin? You know, there was this movie, I don't know if you're all familiar with, saying Looking for Mr. Goodbar. So many times in life we find ourselves looking for something that's already there for us, somewhere there, something that's right there in our face. And I'm just going to tell you a little of, I believe, how much do you believe in you? How much are you aware of the power of you in you? I'll be right back. Mama June and Rosemary here on The Female Solution. Who's loving you and who brings you joy? Or what brings you joy? We've gotten that in. Rosemary, are you here now?
I'm here. Hi.
All righty. Well, we've got callers coming in. We're going to tell them they can call in 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325. And again, happy Women's History Month. You can join us, and you want to talk to us, just press 1 in the queue, and we will let you on in. You know, we're always looking for someone to love us or someone to bring us some joy. And so, like I said, who's loving you and who's going to bring you joy or what's going to bring you joy and whatever is on your mind? You got some questions? Bring them on, too. So, Rosemary, finally, I think we've gotten you in. How are you doing this morning?
I'm in. I'm doing really great, and I'm glad to be in. And excuse me. I hear that your topic is who's loving you. That's a good topic. So maybe somebody on the line would be interested in this, and we all are. Everybody wants to know who's loving me. First thing, are you loving you? That's the first thing. So what I would like to do is make a list of who you think is loving you. Just right now, just kind of make a mental list of who you think is loving you and why do you think they love you. You know, you don't have to write it down. Just kind of think about it. And you want to think about things like what actually brings you joy and what does joy feel like? Because if you don't know what it feels like, how are you going to know when it shows up? So And then another question is, who do you love and why? Why do you love that person or that whatever, okay, that activity or whatever? And how do you love yourself? That's another good, how do you love yourself? Because many of us think as long as we have our nails done, our hair done, and eyelashes and all that, that's loving ourselves. And that's part of it. But the real part of it is how we think, how we think about ourselves, what we see in the mirror early in the morning when we wake up without the lashes, without whatever, okay, the makeup. Who do you see then? Because that's who you see in your subconscious. That's the person you really got to love. You got to love the extra pounds, the whatever. You got to love that person, okay? You got to love the way you think. You got to love the way you feel. You got to love the way you feel about others as well as about yourself, okay? So what are some of the things you experience when you love yourself? These are just some questions that I'm throwing out there for just some food for thought to think about.
And you're just rolling right along. You're just rolling right along. I just want to applaud you. Is that possible? Can we do that? Because I tell you, that is just great. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm just taking over. Okay. So you got my mouth. I can't speak. Okay. Somebody got a question. Very good. What's your question?
Issue that an associate of mine is having. She asked my advice, and so perhaps you all can share some of the wisdom of your experience in providing some advice. She's in a relationship. It's a long term relationship. It's been nearly 10 years. She and her male companion, they've been together for nearly 10 years. They've both been through very painful divorces, and he and his ex are on good terms. You know, they're past the pain of their separation, and they've been able to co-parent and that sort of thing. She and her ex are not on good terms. There's a lot of acrimony between them still, a lot of bitterness. And her children have gone through a certain amount of emotional trauma. Both of them, their children are older, like college age. So they're in their adult stages of life, but they're still young people. And his children, he's got a couple of sons and a daughter, and you know they're okay with the fact that he's moved on with his life. She has a daughter and two sons. No, actually, she has two daughters and one son. The son gets along with her companion. The two daughters are very angry that she is come back to their father, not going to reconcile with their father. And so this has had an impact on her relationship. And it has kept her relationship from evolving to being solidified as, okay, are we married? Are we going to be boyfriend and girlfriend for the next 20 years until we die? You know, what's happening? She hesitates to move in that direction because her two daughters are very angry. They were angry at the divorce. They felt that she should have not been as judgmental toward their father. You know, they were very attached to their father. And so so her male companion is now feeling like, well, you know, you're letting your daughters run your life. You're grown. You need to let go. And in his, I guess, maybe you call it frustration or whatever, he has started seeing someone else, and he's considering whether to kind of break ties with her. They had lived together briefly, And, you know, the conflict with the daughters made her decide to move out from that situation. And now she's trying to decide, should she move back in with him to keep him from moving on to a new relationship? Should she end the relationship because her daughters are not in favor of it? Should she just let it go where it's going, and if he wants to move on, you know, just let it? She's not sure what to do because she's kind of stuck in the middle of trying to please her daughters, trying to keep a relationship that's been a long-term relationship, but she hasn't been able to move forward with it because she's influenced by her daughters not being in agreement with it. So what would you advise? Is there a point where when someone has ended a marriage, however their children feel about it, that was their adult decision? So should your children still be influencing the fact that they don't want you seeing someone else because they don't like the idea of you starting a family with someone else because they haven't really emotionally accepted the divorce? Should she still be letting that influence her?
Well, one of the questions, can we get the age of the children? Are these grown-ups? Are they living in the house together? Or they're separate? What is, you know, what's happening here? How
all
old?
All the children involved are early 20s to early 30s.
Oh, we're talking about grown kids.
Grown children.
Grown children.
My youngest daughter is a sophomore in college. You know, like, you know, 19 going on 20. So, I mean, it's like everybody's out of the house.
Oh, right. Okay, so he and she are together and have been together, this relationship been together for 10 or more years.
Yes.
And they have had ups and downs just like every other relationship, right?
Yes.
But the children are now coming in all in their 20s.
Yes.
To intervene.
Yes. I mean, when they were younger and she started this relationship, they didn't like it. And, you know, over time, because they didn't like it, it couldn't quite solidify into, you know, permanency because she was still impacted by the fact that, you know, her children didn't like it. And he had been divorced longer than she had. So for him, you know,
Rosemary? You can ask. You take it because I'm trying to figure out what are the questions. I don't know what it is they don't like. I don't know part of the conversation of why they don't like him. What is it that they don't accept him? And if he's been there for 10 years, he's been there and been a part of their lives. So what are some of the things that you're saying? And
they're saying, you know, because she initiated her divorce. She initiated her divorce. She was, you know, not pleased with.
Oh, with her husband. So the okay.
And her husband, and you know, he was angry. So there's a lot of hurt between her and her husband. Her daughters felt like she shouldn't have gotten a divorce. They felt like she acted hastily, and then when she got involved with someone else, they acted like she really acted hastily. Like, how could you get involved with someone so soon? You know, you oughtn't even try to work it out. So all along, they've been feeling like you shouldn't be with this other man. And same thing, her ex-husband was also upset that she was, you know, with someone else.
Oh, so, Rosemary, you want to tackle that, because I'm looking at a mother who has yet to stand in her maturity. I see she is still not fully grown. But anyway, Rosemary, you want to comment?
Story. Okay, 10 years. Were they divorced all this time that they were together for 10 years? Each one was divorced when they started 10 years ago?
I'm not sure if she was divorced when she first first started seeing him. That could be part of the problem.
Okay, so another thing is, so 10 years, that meant the kids were like 10.
Yeah.
They were like 10 years old, and one may have been 20 even then at that time. Okay.
Well, a little bit younger than his, so his are closer
to
now
young adults. And I think she has given these kids, I'm sure there's a backstory with she and her ex-husband. It sounds like he's angry with her. She's angry. And maybe they shouldn't have divorced. Maybe they should have some kind of counseling. But anyway, at this point now, her boyfriend is seeing someone else. Okay, so that will really make you feel insecure.
Oh, I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah.
And they've been together for 10 years, and let's face it, a new relationship is exciting, and you might just, and that old relationship sometimes can really be so good that nothing can come between it, but the new relationship is now so exciting and new, and she has got to make a decision. Sounds to me that she's in a really vulnerable place. She's insecure right now. Her kids are dictating her life. And let me say this. I don't know her kids' relationship with somebody, but when they meet somebody, they're not going to think about what his mama is going to think about me moving in with my boyfriend or getting married. They're going to do what they want to do. The thing is, we got one life to live, and she has her kids. Sounds like she's done a very good job, and it's really not up to them what she does. I just don't think the children should come between the husband and wife. If the husband and wife are having an argument, it's not for them to discuss it with the kids. That's not their business. It's not the kids' business. Does that make sense? You know, that's me and your husband's business, me and your father's business. So don't come and say, well, Dad shouldn't have done that. So that's not your business.
Right. I think that's the hardest thing for children to realize. They don't have power in the relationship between two adults, you know, even though it's a very powerless feeling. And I know a lot of people who have grown up in broken homes, sometimes they feel responsible. Sometimes they feel like, you know, and a lot of times children will act out because they feel like if I can get both of my parents upset, maybe they'll come together to try to fix me. You know,
right.
So that's
yeah.
The thing is, these are not children.
They're adults now. And from the way she described it, all during the time she was in this new relationship, her children have interfered with that because they didn't want it to continue. So it's been rocky in that sense where she...
So I'm going to say she allowed her children to interfere with that.
Allowed them to
interfere. The lack of power that she had over her family.
Yeah.
So I just don't agree with kids. I don't care how old they are, taking over the relationship. You're doing what you have to do for your kids. You're loving them. You're training them. You're doing the best thing. Now, if you and your husband break up, that's sad. But if he's there, still being the father, you know, still doing his responsibility as a father, seeing them, that's really not for them to make that decision. And the kids will be upset, but that's life. And now that they're young adults and they're going into their own life, they will find out, especially the 30. My goodness, that one's probably already married.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Once children get their own lives, they really don't care. But
exactly.
She let them prevent her from moving on in her personal life. And now her personal life is unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's kind of in desperation mode. Oh, what should I do? Should I try to get him back or should I just leave? Maybe my children were right all along. But, you know, she's miserable either way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I can see that lack of maturity and the seesawness that we're seeing now, that has been teetering throughout the relationship.
So if I can just imagine the bickering, the hostilities, the different feelings going on, and she, bless her heart, I just did not seek the tools. Just did not seek tools. Like you said, for counseling, even if it's just going to relationship counseling. Sometimes you get into a situation where you start feeling guilty. You start feeling guilty, and then you move your position as a mother into wanting to be their friend. You're playing all of these different positions to appeal to them and maintain a relationship. Well, if you were the man, you're either my spouse or my partner, or we're at one together, or we're not, because the kids are constantly cutting in between the relationship. So if you are not secure with the decision that you make, you're not at peace with the decision that you have to be with this man. Hey, who's loving you?
Sometimes.
Where is your joy at? Do you value your joy? Do you know what joy is? You know, there's some questions, like I said earlier, coming to this Women's Month. Do you know that this Women's Month for history is only 36 years?
Yeah.
So we as a major component that brings about community, brings about families as women and as mothers, have been devalued to the point that we are all starting to awaken to our powers. In many African places, they were contributing the spread of AIDS to the fact that in many of the African languages, a woman could say no to the dog, no to the children, no to the cat, but there was no no for you to say to a man.
And a lot of cultural behaviors. And if there's anything that we should have learned from this experience, is that you cannot brutalize an entire gender and rise as a people. You cannot
do it. You're absolutely. And that's why it goes around and around. It goes loop-de-loop, okay? Because even the title of this program, The Female Solution, the female is the solution. She is the solution. And my thought for this young woman, or however way she is, I wonder what model does she have? What was her mother like? And what was their relationship? Did her mother and father, was there divorce there? What was the relationship? You know, I remember when I was absolutely in hell, a turmoil with my relationship, my first relationship, and I was being abused. And my mother would tell me emphatically, look, that's the bed you made. So you got to lay in it. And she would tell me that. And honestly, I would go on a blank because I first thought, what does she mean? It's a bed that I made. And why do I have to lay in a bed that's got me miserable, that's abusing me? I don't understand that. And not only that, but women of her time, even a pastor's wife, I moved to Mossville, Louisiana, and I was speaking to this woman. I said, my gosh, I said, your husband is so sweet. And she said to me, oh, honey, he hasn't been all that way all the time. I said, well, he's a pastor. She says, oh, yeah, I married him. He was a pastor. And, honey, he did a lot of horrible things. But look at him now. Isn't he sweet? You just have to take time and just
deal with them because they're going to sow their wild oats. They're going to do these things. You here, just be patient. And I just looked at her and said, I love you, but I don't want to be an old woman waiting to find out this man is sleeping. So. Really? Right. It can't do nothing for you know. And so I just that was the most complex thing for me to absorb women's this mentality. So I don't know the age of this sister, but I do know that she is in love. She doesn't know. She can't distinguish the feel your love. For love from my own heart for a partnership, and what do you do with the man? What kind with the relationship? Because that's the relation that kind of, that needs to be building on. Go ahead, take it up, Rosemary.
I'm going to say that.
We got commercial time.
Okay. Rosemary's commentary, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call
515-605-9325.
If you are on our switchboard now and have a thought you'd like to share, and maybe you have a challenge with a love relationship, press 1.
Just press 1. Who's loving you?
Who's loving you? Right back.
All right. Great.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm in the waiting room here. Maybe if you can take me out of that.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
That's a good point because yeah, we have those times. I got to call her back. And she can't hear us. These are one of the things, but you know, that's another good point too, that was made earlier about you know, I had to call you. Yes. You know, you made a good point, Rosemary, because we don't know how much time was the time period between the ending of one relationship and involving in another. And that rebounding, it can really cause havoc if you are getting involved in a relationship and you haven't emotionally detached yourself from the previous relationship, you know?
What are you talking about? The one with her husband or the one with, what relationship are you talking about?
Her husband, the one that she's married, because my understanding is that she's with this man. Well, that's another marriage, yeah. Her first husband, or the one, the children's father.
That's over.
Oh, yeah, it's over. But, you know, what I'm saying is that when you get into a relationship and you're not...
Once somebody's moved on, they kind of decided to give up. It's like...
Well, it seemed like the other one has gone out the house. He's gone. And so that's not really repairable because the children are going to be rejoicing. And because if they triumph, it's their victory. They achieve their goal.
When her children get in a relationship, they're not going to ask mama, is it okay? Okay.
No, they're not. They're done too. Because once they find them, it's a good bar. They're going to be on their way someplace else.
So we have to realize this is life. This is my life. They're going to be, when they, or whoever, they're going to say, this is my life. Kids have said that all the time. Husbands say, this is my life, I'm gone. Wives have said, this is my life, I'm gone. I've got to do me, boo. Okay? Do you, boo. This is not dress rehearsal.
That's another part of reality that I'm learning, too. The clock is always ticking, and time is always in motion. And one of the things I experienced is that once my children had gone, and then I retired and found myself at home. I had been working all of my life. Well, I was born in the store, so I worked all my life. And then realized, Naima and Rosemary, that I was an X factor in my life, unknown, because I had not given myself any time to learn who I am and to value myself. And I realized I had invested everything into everyone, my job, children, husband, but not myself. But, you know, it didn't stop the clock from ticking. It didn't stop the children from growing up, going on their own, marrying and having their children. And that's something that we as women must learn to plan our lives. Men were always taught to plan and to do things and to take control of their lives. But women, we were, at least in my time period, I don't see so much with the young people now, but we were always, our happiness and our goodness always came from finding a man. So if want to have a caller, if you want to press, join the conversation and contribute a thought to it, just press 1. So I think that's what we say that, well, she's not having any babies, but maybe this relationship between men and women is still something that's still to be discovered.
Going out a little bit, Mama Joy.
Really?
Check your computer, make sure you don't have any other windows open, taking away your internet.
Okay. Okay, I see the private chat. I see no sound from Marie.
Yeah, I'm losing a little bit.
All righty. Sorry about that. Well, I've closed everything up. And I think what I did today, I sent out the wrong number, but I sent out the wrong, yeah. Are we still fluttering? Okay, well, I tell you what.
Yeah, I think just check to make sure you don't have any other windows open.
No, I don't.
But I think this is a difficult time for women who are middle aged. I guess you want to consider middle age anywhere from 40 to 70.
Okay. No,
from
40. You're going to have children. You're going to be involved with somebody with children. And so this is a time of blended families. If there's a divorce, that's what's going to be your next relationship. And maybe that's a conversation that people should have with their children. Yes, divorce is a decision between two people, but when two people get divorced, I think they need to be aware that they're not just, it's like when they get married, you're not affecting the other person, you're affecting all of their family, all of your family, and then if you have children, you're affecting all the children. So just like marriage is something you have to take seriously and really understand the gravity of. If you're making that commitment, people need to do whatever would be helpful to keep that union, because it's not just the two of them. I know in a lot of cultures, when you marry, it emphasizes that it's the family that's marrying. It's not just you and him or you and her. It's your family and then your children, and everybody who's connected is affected if you break that union. So, breaking it shouldn't be done lightly, but once that decision is made, I think everybody's feelings have to be taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think it would be good if, I'm grateful I've never had to experience a divorce, but I think if that's a decision that's made, the parents should at least listen to the children's feelings about it. Not say, me and your mother are breaking up. Well, me and your father, we can't get along. We're ending this marriage. I think the parents owe it to their children to at least listen to their feelings, because you're going to hear it one way or another. If you don't listen to it willingly, you're going to hear it unwillingly. So I think that's a thing that parents should think about, is having that conversation when there's problems in the marriage. And if it's so hostile where you got to, maybe there's violence, so you got to flee for your lives. Well, the children understand if it's like that, they know why you left. But if it's just like, we can't get along, we can't stop arguing, we don't like the same things anymore, whatever it is, that's still their family, and you're still disrupting their family. So they're going to be angry, and they're going to be resentful. And then if you bring somebody into your life before they've had a chance to accept the ending of the other relationship, there is going to be some conflict, because they're human beings, even if they're young human beings. So I personally think that you have to give your children time to
10 years
with the new relationship between you and the other parent before you bring somebody else into their lives and expect them to just be okay with it, because they're not.
Yes, in general.
So it's for life, they still have feelings. That's my thought on that.
In general, yes, but we were talking about...
Rosemary, I don't know if...
Can you hear me?
Your mic would give us your sound.
I think I'm still on the phone and the phone. Can you hear me?
You can't hear us, Naima?
I hear Joy.
Yes, I
can. And I hear you.
I can hear you too, Rose, but I was trying to see if Naima could hear us. Naima, can you hear us?
I can hear you now. You've been frozen.
Can you hear me? Can you hear Rosemary?
I can hear her now.
Okay, good.
What I was saying is, in general, what you're saying is true. It's right. It's correct. But we were talking about this one specific people, and that's what I was just referring to, this one specific case, not everybody.
who's having a problem.
Well, I think that is an ideal situation that you're speaking about to do. But I also feel that this is something that should also go into the schools about relationships. Because I can see that.
I mean, we expect the schools to do a lot. I think most.
Well, you know, we should have home ec. No, let me tell you, we should have home ec and home ec.
Yeah, it would be good if we could teach relationships in school.
Oh, right. They're teaching.
The teacher has the best relationship, but, you know, there are books they can refer to.
Okay, Rosemary, I see you waving your hands up. What's going on? Well, I don't know what.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You've been in and out. I can hear you now. Can you hear? No, I don't. I'm not saying that the school is supposed to teach.
Children be able to talk about it, and I don't know if that's something that they can do just based on the fact that.
You know what? I think the schools need to revamp. When you're having issues like this and relationships a bit are falling apart and people not really knowing, understanding which way to go, the curriculum should be changed in a way not to overburden the teacher, but to be inclusive of real life entities, real life situations. And to counseling or whatever. These, so many young people, I heard you said, you know, that you know, they have to be mindful of having discussions in front of the kids and they should do whatever. Naima, that's just not happening.
No, it's not.
It's just not happening. And I even with my daughter, there was the divorce, and it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad, and what I was surprised with is that when the relationship was falling apart, that the in-laws, they got a distance from me, and I was looking at them as potential partners of coming together to help with this relationship. Because there were children involved, but they became
worse.
Yeah, they became bitter. They stopped speaking to me. Stopped doing what I do to family, and I was saying, look, we're at an age, you know, we should be mature enough to be able to have a discussion, and make sure that these children have a stable situation that they can come to either one of us. But
co-parenting,
but that didn't occur. No matter what I tried to do, they were just not willing to do it, and that shocked me because I thought that at a certain age, that you would get to understand the realities of life, reality of relationships, and knowing that these young children coming up needed some stable entity in their lives. And that just was not happening. And so I, it's ideal when we say things, but we have so many people who have so much unresolved in their own lives.
That's true. We keep thinking age means wisdom, and it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Older, and they're just the same as they were when they were younger.
You're laughing at that, huh, Rosemary? It's the truth. That's one of my biggest disappointments. I thought age meant you grow up. No, biologically, but your brain, your mind, and emotion and spiritual, that's all a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Rosemary, you broke up.
I'm trying to slip in a sentence. You all are big talkers.
No, you're not. You're saying that about us. Are you really saying that about us?
It's almost break time, and I just kind of think we should move on to something else. I think we beat this horse to death. What you think, guys?
Hopefully, people learn something from it. It's a situation you're in, hopefully you learn something. Or if it's one that could happen, maybe you learn what not to do. You know, and we're all examples. Either we're examples of the thing you should do or the thing you shouldn't do. But all of us are examples of something. So,
and the person who asked the question, I hope we were able to put some light on her particular question, since that's what we started out with. Okay. So I kind of hope that we kind of gave her something to go by. And all I want to say is, as long as we tolerate a thing, it's going to continue to happen. You want to change your life, you got to change your life. You want to change your life, world, and affairs, you got to change your thinking. Because I always say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And our behavior is governed by our thoughts. So what are we thinking? Think what you want in your life. Leave this other stuff alone. Because our thoughts.
And because so many are like that, we can see that they haven't gotten the message yet.
Yeah. We got to take that next. We got to call 504-357. We can come to you next. And after this quick break. Don't stray away. We'll be right back.
Stick
and
stay.
515-605-9321.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
To take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Oh, is that it? Rosemary, can you tell us she's on a...
It seems like her internet connection is going in and out. And
All right, I tell you, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
There she is.
Yeah, there you are. I hear you.
It's freezing, and I'm not sure if it's your internet connection.
I'm freezing?
I'm going to open the mic for 504-357. Let's see if we're able to hear them. 504-357.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Is open.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Just heard somebody.
Yeah.
I'm speaking. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear?
Can you hear me? Can hear you all.
Difficulty hearing.
All right, so she's responding to us. Can you hear? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I can hear you all.
I can, yeah.
And I can hear you.
Naima,
I can hear
you
fine.
Yeah, your sound is going in and out.
I don't know why that is, because she's calling in from the block radio. So it should be able to get it. I don't understand. Okay.
But I can hear you fine, Mama Joy. I can hear you clearly. I can hear Naima clearly. There's been no problem on this end of receiving. I've heard everything.
Okay. Okay, so now, Mama Joy, speak. See if we can hear you.
Everyone, I hear you.
Okay. All right. 504-357, can you hear us now?
No, I can hear you all clearly.
Okay, great. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I can
so
hear you
Rosemary,
all
stabilize your screen, cuz we can hear all the crumbling. Oh, yeah, that happened.
How's that?
Okay, that's better. All right. So now we're all seen and heard. Great. Okay, so now, caller, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
From Chicago, Black Pearl. And I wanted to,
hey.
There was a quote that, how you doing? I appreciate the platform.
Thanks for calling.
It's always, thank you for having the space. And it's always just encouraging to just hear my mother just constantly be in motion in terms of producing. So I'm always being very supportive of that. But there was this, one of my adopted daughters, I have neither been married, so therefore I've never been divorced, but I found the conversation that you all were having about it extremely helpful and compelling, because of the fact that, again, it gives voice to, I heard you all speaking about women. I just think that the voice and the layers and the textures and the infinite ways that women are expressed in the world are often sort of dumbed down and dulled down to either happy, sad, good or bad. I think the platforms that allow for those experiences to be expressed allows for us to really be able to give voice to what we're feeling. And sometimes those things are not necessarily depression. I think that sometimes some of the things that we are articulating as it relates to a feeling most people, like in the book of Job, his friends got uncomfortable with his discomfort. So we rush people on to just be quiet because it's like, mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable because now I'm making you responsible for my happiness because I'm going through a bad time. I need for you to hurry up and feel better. And so in that process, we miss a lot of what God is speaking, a lot of what is happening in our spirit, and a lot of creativity, a lot of ingenuity, a lot of innovation, a lot of collaborations are missed because we need for people to hurry up and get fixed real quick. But I think we missed what happens in the darkness that creates for us a broader span of our humanity and ways for us to express our creativity. And so now we just dumb our experience down to programs, workshops, organizations. And I just think there are so many ways for us to be able to communicate our humanity and our experiences and our pain. It's a moment of alchemy to transform those moments. Like in the moment when my mother spoke about a divorce that was happening in our family, and then her one end, they were only dealing with just what they had perceived of divorce, but they were not, and they were experiencing it, and it became personal. And in the process of that being personal and about how they felt, the children were, like you spoke about, Naima, they were totally like not even a part of the equation. They were just considered the baggage of what is to be experienced, but something could have happened that could have been transformative, even in reconciliation, atonement, or even ways for the children to be able to deal with adversity. And so I'm going to leave with this particular quote that I saw one of my adopted daughters. She had spoken, posted on a page, and it said, "People start to heal, feel heard." And that's a big deal. And yesterday I had one of my mentees, she was talking to me, and I had gotten a text that sort of jarred me a little bit. And while she was talking to me, I was in the middle of a text, and she stopped and said, "Miss Pearl, is really important to me. I was just saying something from my heart, and I really needed you to hear what I was saying." And it was, and that really, that moment of correction, and her presence has been very, very, it's been so key and integral to me because it shifted the balance of me being present. Like her presence, it reminded me of the essential components and variables that happen in us that we stop listening. And sometimes we're listening more to the information that we stop listening to the spirit and the and what's happening to the person while communicating. Sometimes it's not about what they're saying, but it's about their ability to be free, to be able to have a space to share. And when we create freedom for people, ultimately we create all of the things that we are desiring to see in regards to resolution. We don't need to fix people, but sometimes we need to stop and listen so that ultimately the healing that we're wanting to create is happening because they feel heard. That's all.
Thank you. Black Pearl, yes. I agree. And I think that's the same thing even with children in a family where there's a breakup. Part of their anger is that no one seems to care how they feel. And that's usually why they act out or why they become defiant because they feel unheard. They feel like, you didn't care how you're making me feel. You didn't care how this is affecting me. You made this decision without thinking about my feelings. Yeah, even though it's between the two of them, but it's still, it's our family. And so even like you say, you know, family getting angry and taking it personally, like, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to us? Yeah, but it's not, all of us are experiencing this. And this is the hard thing about any kind of marriage relationship. Everybody's involved. You know, there's pain on all sides. If it breaks up, everybody's hurt. And sometimes that's why people have stayed in bad relationships. People have stayed in abusive relationships out of feeling like, well, if I leave, then everybody will be upset. But if something's hurting you, you have a right to leave. You have a responsibility to yourself first. And yeah, some people might be mad, disappointed, upset, angry. But then if I think there are reasons to end a relationship. I think there are reasons a person can stay. And part of in a loving relationship, part of it is learning patience, tolerance, and forgiveness. Now, the example Mama Joy gave of the pastor's wife, well, I mean, that was her choice. she chose to spend all them years tolerating whatever misbehavior he had. That was her choice. And every woman
had
a
choice.
That was her choice. Now, some women may not choose that because that's a lot of years you put into tolerating unhappiness to finally maybe get to some level of happiness, maybe. That's a choice. You know, it's your life. You know, if you got 80 years, 90 years on this planet, that's what you got. So you can spend, you know, however many of those years not being happy if you want to. That's your choice. But I think also there are when you go into a marriage, you know that there are faults that person has, and they know you have faults. You don't go in there thinking, well, I'm going to fix this or it's going to change. No, this is like a used car. This is as is. I'm buying this as is. And when I take it home, if it rattles when I started up and took it on a test drive, it's going to rattle when I take it home. That's how I bought it. So you decide that you're going to accept a person as they are. That's part of what the marriage vows are. I'm accepting your faults if they never get better. And that is the promise, you know, for better or worse. Sometimes it's going to be worse, you know. But that doesn't mean you accept abuse.
You're forfeiting your love. So am I understanding you to say that If I'm in a bad marriage and I'm miserable and I'm being abused, I should stay there.
No.
So everybody else around me can be happy.
No. What I'm saying.
I don't want to upset the family. I don't want to upset the friends or the in-laws. But let me stay here and tolerate this situation. And everybody else is happy because we're still together.
No.
Me and this man are still together.
Now, that's what some people do. But no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you get into a marriage, go into it with both eyes open. Understand what the faults are that your spouse has, that you are agreeing to be patient and tolerant and forgiving of, not expecting those faults to change. Can you love that person as they are? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't marry them.
You know,
don't marry them expecting them to get better. They're exactly as they are when you were seeing them.
No, you never know anybody until you actually marry them or live with them. That's when you start to really see them.
Yeah, because that's when they take off their best behavior.
See them. So,
you know,
you can be together for 10 years. You're not shacking up. You know, you're not living together. But you're seeing each other like on weekends and you're kind of on a honeymoon.
Yeah.
You move in with that person, then there are some things about that person, some things
you
that's going to drive you up a wall. So let's be real, okay?
So now, and let me ask you this question.
One more thing. Men do not do what we're talking about here, okay? Men just leave.
Some do.
Leave the keys, Steve. 50 ways to say goodbye to your lover. Men are not going to tolerate what we tolerate.
Well, a lot of women stayed in bad marriages because they were financially dependent. So that's why the divorce rate went up when women started to gain their financial independence, because they weren't staying out of a need for somebody to take care of them. So, given the choice, they're like, "Hey, I ain't got to tolerate this. I can take care of myself." So
we are modern women, 2023 here. Get on the bus, Gus. Okay.
Yeah.
Leave the keys. See, we don't have to stay there and tolerate someone's abusive behavior.
Right.
Okay. Anyway,
I say,
as long as we tolerate the thing, it will never change.
Well, that's true.
We can pray, scream, kick, walk the floor all night. And if we don't change our way of thinking, change our beliefs, remember, we make our decisions from our beliefs, and our actions come from those decisions. So to act differently, something has to change.
Right.
Our experiences are the reflection of our beliefs, and therefore the key to happy and successful living is what? Right thinking.
Right.
Followed by right action.
Right.
Okay? Followed by all those kinds of things. Nothing will change until you change how you think about it. Now, if you want to, and I'll tell you something else about people who stay in, people who tolerate anything, there's a payoff for them. Maybe don't look at it that way, but they're getting something out of staying in that job, that relationship, that whatever. There's a payoff.
Well,
or they would. And when the when there's no longer a payoff, they'll leave.
Yeah, I mean, okay. either they're staying out of fear, like fear of things might be
whatever
worse if I leave,
or they're
staying out of love because they love that
okay.
person in spite of. And everybody's level of tolerance is different. So I can't look at somebody else's relationship and say, oh, she should leave him. I wouldn't take that.
No,
well,
no,
yeah,
no,
but that, she
that.
Might. You know, that's her
And another
choice.
Thing, we have to be clear and focused and committed and determined what it is that we want to change. What do I want to have changed? What, you know, that's different from other people. What do you want to have changed? So we must see the outcome in our own mind, what it is I want. So it's always good, and when you want to change something, it's always good to set a deadline as to when you want some type of measurable result. And if there are no results, then there's no change, okay?
Mm.
So when we change our course of thinking, remarkable things happen. Now listen to this, please, and I'm going to be quiet and let you talk. Not only does what we are working on begin to change, but our entire circumference changes. In other words, our entire circle broadens. So let me, I had an example to give, but when we change our way of thinking, everything changes in our life. Everything, the entire circumference broadens, okay? It broadens because when we decide to change our life, we actually began to look at other avenues to travel. And while traveling, new opportunities arise. And things we never dreamed of will appear. Things that's always been there are now appearing. Things in plain sight that we didn't see because of the mindset that we had. That we have to do it this way. We don't have to do it this way. There are other ways we can do it. So the directions we're traveling will definitely take us there, but it's there where we want to be.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Wherever you're headed, you're going to get there. But make sure that's where you want to be. So we have to be mindful of our thinking, okay? So we need to stop wasting our time on the wrong road. Because when you look up and discover that you're going south and you thought you were headed north, preventing you from turning around. But you know what? A lot of us will say, oh, well, I've gone this far. I might as well continue. No, you know, I'm closer to there than I am to where I should be. That's not what you want to do. Turn around.
And you can
know when there's no longer a payoff in what you're doing, you will change your course. So ask yourself what you're getting out of that behavior because you're getting something out of it. Ask yourself, what have I been putting up with, trying to change, ignoring, and trying to wish would go away, and yet it surfaces throughout the day? Well, let me answer that for you. You're putting up with stuff in your life because you're getting, like I said, you're getting something out of it, and that's the payoff. You get to complain to your friends. That might be the payoff. You get to get sympathy from them. You get to be right with
some people
others
like that.
They're making them wrong. And for many reasons, we put up with stuff and not putting up with our own lives and not putting our own lives in order. Oh, yes. Blame the other person. You know, it's like if mama hadn't done this, if we had lived in a better area, if I had gotten a better education. No. Mm-mm. Ask yourself, who am I? And then answer yourself. But just don't say, huh.
Yes. And I agree. You know, people have to take responsibility for the choices that they've made and not blame
Absolutely.
Other people. Like you were saying, some people will stay in a relationship that they're miserable in because other people would be upset if they left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stupidest thing you can do. And you'll figure that out at the end of your life. And you say, you know, I spent all these years being miserable and I didn't have to do that. And you can't blame anybody at that point. You made the choice to not love yourself And so you let your life be an example of an unloving life, you know, but that was a choice. People say, and I think if you look at reasons to leave, there's one thing if a person has behaviors that are annoying and you know, just things like, oh, okay, well, he, you know, doesn't wash the dishes. You know, he gets up with these late-night meals and leaves dishes in the sink. Okay, that's an annoyance. Is that a cause for divorce? Probably not. I mean, but for some people it might be, look, that's it. I like my house clean. I don't like dishes in the sink at night because it causes roaches. I mean, it could be a whole thing. Somebody could get upset about that. So you have to decide, is that a habit that I don't like but I can ignore? Or is that going to be something that causes us to argue and argue and argue and call names at each other and then finally divorce? So there's levels of maturity, I think, even in knowing how to tolerate different behaviors in someone else that are different habits than you have. Like you're saying, Rosemary, you know, when you live with somebody, you see a whole lot of things that you don't see when you go and visit them and they've cleaned up the house and, you know, made everything look nice and smell nice. And that's not how they live day to day, but that's what you see when you visit them because you're still in that honeymoon stage. You're still in that dating stage where they want to impress you. So there is a difference. But once you really see somebody, it shouldn't be that vast a difference where it's like night and day. And sometimes it is. You know, sometimes you find out that person has a whole pretense and they're totally somebody else. But you find that out really early in the marriage. And, you know.
Yeah.
Are you
going to
stay in it for 10 years?
Part of my, excuse me. So, if
Mama Joy, I think Mama Joy is still kind of freezing. She's trying to speak, but you're still getting a little bit frozen.
So the thing is, who's loving you? And I tell you, you better love yourself because the commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you're not loving you,
and love your neighbor,
shame on your neighbor.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Who's loving you?
Yeah.
Take care of yourself, or take care of your health, take care of your mind, and you're just a joy to be with and around.
Right.
Because your love for you shows. And you, and it's vibrating to the other person.
Right. That's
you don't
want to
be around somebody that's always sad and always coming up with the same old stuff. And the phone ring, you say, oh, here comes someone sometimes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's
on the street, you turn around, oh, my God.
I don't want to hear it. Well, that's the thing, though. You know, people like that will drive you away from them because they're looking at other people to bring them happiness. And other people can't bring you happiness. You have to come with it yourself. You have to share the happiness that's already in you. People think that you need a person to make, I want someone to make me happy. I'm looking for a man to make me happy. He can't make you happy. If you ain't happy when you met him, you won't be happy with him. As a matter of fact, you'll make him miserable because what you bring in is your misery.
So both of you are happy, you have a really happy mood in there.
That's when you have joy. Right. That's when you have fun. You can do things together. You can enjoy each other's company. You can sit around and do nothing together and be just as content. You know, I mean, that's when you know you have a good relationship.
Right.
You can sit in a room and do absolutely nothing and be content, peace. You don't have to have the TV going. You don't have to be watching a movie.
Exactly.
You don't have to be eating or a show. You can just sit and just do nothing and be okay.
So that's why I say if you don't know what love is, if you don't know what joy is, how do you know when it shows up? You may have been in a really great relationship, but said you didn't know.
And then
you didn't know.
You never know what you got till it's gone.
And now it's over. You're going, you know, that guy was not so bad.
That's what happens. A lot of times we will kick somebody to the curb for some little thing, and then after they're gone, then we realize, you know, that was petty of me. That was such a petty thing. He was really a nice person, and all the good far outweighed the bad. It was me and my immaturity and insecurity that drove him away. Mm-hmm. It was me all along. And sometimes we meet that realization. So mm-hmm. that's a hard lesson to learn.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can have a friend, somebody who's really there for you, who's really being a friend, but if you have not or cannot accept this person as a friend, then in your mind, that person's not a friend. So
right.
you can't really enjoy that friendship because you're thinking
right.
something else. What does he want from me? Or whatever those
right.
other thoughts is preventing this person who's really your friend being your friend. You know, the Bible says it's better for a friend to slap you for a reason, of course.
Yep.
into your head, then your enemy to compliment you because that enemy doesn't care.
So let me wrap my head around that quote.
Well, I find it is better for a friend to slap you, but it says something like, it's better for a friend to just tell you the truth about what's going on and what they see for
right,
you.
Right,
put
then,
you
then
the right.
Then the enemy to lie to you.
If somebody say to you, your enemy say, oh, you're doing really well, and they know that
they
you're
know
going
you're
down
not.
The wrong path.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's better to be slapped by a friend
been praised by an enemy. Yeah, you're right.
Look it up.
We got to take one last break, and then we'll be
okay.
back. I think Mama Joy has
started out.
If you want to
be a part of the conversation, please press 1.
Yes. If you're on our switchboard and got something to say, press 1. We'll be right back after these quick
thank
messages.
You.
So stay
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. Great.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, jobs, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. Take advantage of the deal of the day. Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Thank you.
the number for you? Can you hear me? Right number.
Okay. Yeah, we're back. 515-605-9325. Yes. Yes. So, I think probably. Oh, wait a minute. Did I see somebody's hand up? Oh no.
No.
Yes. So, I think probably what we should do as parents when we raise our children and prepare them for relationships, because the schools aren't going to teach this because they haven't figured it out themselves, and they don't even have the books that would teach the kinds of things that need to be taught. Because we know when it comes to a love relationship, it has to be spiritually based, and I don't mean, you know, you have to be a certain religion. I mean, spirit, in terms of these are two souls that are coming together. You're not the body you're in. You're the soul inside the body. And when people don't know what love is, they can't express it. And like you were saying, Rosemary, you have to love yourself. With the Mama Joy, of course, you've said that all the time as well. You have to love yourself. And when you love yourself, you don't permit yourself to be mistreated. But there's a difference between being mistreated and tolerating someone who has a different opinion about things or a different style of doing things or different habits. That's different. And we need to know the difference, because part of our problem as a society is not being able to tolerate somebody who is different. And they're not wrong. They're just different. You know, somebody who dresses different or speaks in a different language or arranges the furniture in a house different. I mean, whatever the difference is, it doesn't make it wrong. It's just how they are. So when you can learn to tolerate somebody who's different, and then you get into a relationship with somebody, and maybe the way they do things around the house is different, and that's okay. It doesn't make them bad or wrong. So we gotta know what things are tolerable and what things are abuse. Everything that makes us uncomfortable is not abuse, but then everything that we tolerate shouldn't be tolerated. So if something's hurting you, it shouldn't be tolerated. If it's hurting you emotionally, it shouldn't be tolerated. If it's hurting you physically, it shouldn't be tolerated. But, you know, if it's just getting on your nerves, you know, oh, well, he snores. Okay, well, you know, that's a breathing problem. It's not personal. It's not hurting me. You know, he's not trying to disrupt my sleep. It's, you know, it's the rhythm is off of his breathing when he's asleep. That's, you know, okay, can I live with that? Do I need to put in earplugs? Whatever. You know, just, but that's not a, in my opinion, that's not a cause for divorce.
Time to start permission to find your joy.
Yeah, find your joy.
Find your joy. Give yourself permission to know that you are worthy of love, that you're worthy of having some joy. I'm discovering this self-talk. You know, look in the mirror at yourself. When was the last time you looked in the mirror? Not to put your eyebrows on your eyelashes. But
say
actually, look in your eyes
and say, I love you. I love you. Oh, you're so beautiful. I love you. Yeah.
I take your clothes off with all of the rolls, the fat, and your bumps and everything else and say, you're beautiful.
You're beautiful. Yes. We need to do that.
No, convince yourself. You have to talk, not just tolerate someone else's stuff, but convince yourself that
you're
worthy.
Yes.
You're worthy to do better.
You're worthy. Of love.
Instead of getting in the mirror and saying, you're beautiful, get in the mirror and say, I am beautiful.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say, okay, I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am excited. I am the essence of femininity. I am all that God is.
Yes. And believe it.
There you go.
And
tell them, like you told me, go to Victoria's Secret. Get yourself in sexy underwear, Joy.
Yeah. Parade around the house in it.
You got to find your joy. You know, rather than staying in a situation, know that the Creator dwells within you.
Yeah.
And you have the power to have that guidance to find your joy. Find the love that dwells within you and that light that is in you. And when you can connect to your own self, oh, my. my gosh, oh, God-given power. And look here, when I speak about God, I'm not talking about religion, because every one of us has that divine light, that divine joy, that love inside of ourselves. And when somebody's bothering you, send them love. Yeah. And you go down inside of yourself, and, you know, look, I'm talking, and now I'm shaking my shoulders because I'm feeling good just talking about it. And I feel the joy in me. I feel it welling up in me. And that is what keeps us young. That's what keeps us vibrant. It keeps people like Naima just going on and taking the rabbit or whatever it is. Can't even touch her because she keeps
she's going.
She gets 30 hours a day. 48 hours a day. It's something that you love. Sounds like powerful conversation.
Yes.
We love that. Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
So when you find your joy, you know, seek, ask, knock on the door of your own heart, your own mind, and find that beauty within yourself and say, I am all of that, honey child. I am the I am.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
That's right.
And live in that reality, because no one can love you like you can love you.
Yes.
No one can bring you the joy that you can bring yourself. It's about discovering it inside of you and connecting it. Like Rosemary said, when you give it to yourself, then you'll know it when it comes up into your face.
That's right. Take yourself out to your favorite restaurant. Take yourself out to your favorite movie. Take yourself roller skating. Take yourself out for a good time, because if you don't feel like you're worthy of taking yourself out and you denying yourself joy because you're waiting for somebody to tell you that they're going to take you or they're going to go with you, and if they don't go with you, you don't go. No! Go and have fun yourself. And
so
I tell
you, if you don't want to take yourself out to dinner, if you can't enjoy your company.
Right. If you can't enjoy your own company, who will?
Buy yourself some flowers.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would get off work and I'd stop at the flower shop and get a big, beautiful thing of flowers. And coming in, the doorman would say, oh, boy, somebody sent you flowers. I say, yes, someone who loves me very much.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. That's
a
right conversation for your, you know, be aware of the chatter in your head. Keep your conversation going. And you know it's a good conversation when you feel good. You know, sometimes
yes.
You say, well, I really feel good. Well, that's because you're thinking good. You're doing good things for yourself. You see, many times when we're examining, when examining our lives, we might just discover evidence of self-loathing, really. Let me give an example. The times you dishonored in our energy, the evidence was in the times when we had overcommitted ourselves and said yes, we really wanted to say no, or allowed ourselves to be put in uncomfortable situations out of feelings of obligation and guilt.
Mm.
You don't want to do that. Self-loathing may have shown up on occasions when after you have eaten snacks late at night, when you knew it was not good for your body, or maybe not giving your body enough rest, enough water, or needed that break. Be, you know, watch what you do with your body, with yourself, with your thinking. Love yourself.
Love your body.
So what about the times you mismanage your money and allow yourself to get to positions where your financial debt weighed on you like an anchor?
Mm.
So you felt compelled to always be on the go, huh, in the mix? And guess you got to go to all the professional network, all the social functions. Not that it was something treasurable for you, but it was just something to do, and it beats being alone and doing nothing. You want to examine, why am I doing this? It's good to do stuff, but you want to know why?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just take off time and say, I'm not doing this, okay?
Yeah.
And the times you're not caring for your body properly. Hmm?
Yeah.
The times you're not caring for your body, okay? So you want to take this time to do stuff for yourself, not caring too about it, not eating the proper fruits or drinking enough water. And when you allow men with questionable character and negative energy into your body,
sex is a bonding of spirit.
So
and yes,
what about that person's spirit is worthy to bond with you?
It's a spiritual exchange.
Yes.
It really is.
Spiritual energy exchange.
You are in bed with whomever.
Yes.
Because all the time you're having sex, let's face it, you're not in bed with that man. You're thinking about Joe Blow from We're adults here. You're not even having sex with him. You're just using him as an instrument.
And sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves and think, why am I with this person? Is it because I fear being alone or I think I can't get anybody else? Or, I mean, you know, why are you settling for that which is not love and you know it's not love?
So, yes, there are many signs and much evidence to confirm that there may be a lot of holes, a lot of rips and tears in the fabric of our self-love. Remember this. You have dominion, complete power over your thoughts and your feelings.
Absolutely.
But don't forget, with this power comes responsibility.
Absolutely.
So you are a powerhouse. Each one of us is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
We have been equipped with all the things. We are co-inheritors. What is it? We have inherited the same thing that Jesus has in him. It's in us. We have that same power,
over and over
same
and over
love
again.
That Jesus had is within us. Learn to use it.
Absolutely.
Learn to know that all this power is in each one of us. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and home plate begins with us. It begins with me.
That's right.
It begins with you.
There are no victims, and that's the thing. Take responsibility for our choices. Do not blame someone else if we're miserable. We all have an internal guidance system. If you're feeling bad, it's because your internal guidance system, which is direct connection to God, is telling you that you had a thought that was negative, or you did an action that was negative, but something is telling you that you're out of alignment with God, which is only love. So if you do something unloving to yourself or someone else, you're going to feel bad. And like you were saying, Rosemary, if you say yes to something that you know you wanted to say no and then you feel bad, that bad feeling is telling you, I dishonored myself.
Thank you.
I should have said my true feelings, which was no, I don't want to do this. And feel okay that you have honored yourself. You have a right to say no.
So, and you also have the right to, if you make an error, to forgive yourself.
Yes, forgive yourself.
Forgive yourself. And because you are creating a self-hate, it just makes you less attractive, makes you less appealing, you know, and it ages you. So,
it does.
Come on, ladies and men.
Stress, anger, and guilt is unforgiveness of oneself. So if you're feeling guilty and that you haven't forgiven yourself, let it go. Don't hold on to guilt. Whatever decision you made, you didn't know any better, let it go.
Yeah.
You know, make amends if you can. If it's something that happened so long ago you can't fix it, well, then do something good for someone else. But let that go. Don't keep, oh, man, I did this when I was 16. Oh, I did this when I was 5. Let it go.
Yes, let it go, honey child, because you be carrying that. So who's loving you? Make sure you love and use, and you always go. And hey, who brings you joy? Make sure you know how to give yourself some joy. Because the joy of the Lord in you is your strength. It will keep you ticking like Naima. It'll keep you ticking like Rosemary. It'll keep you ticking.
Recharge that battery and keep on going.
You have to have energy in order to bring solutions
to the
table.
You do.
So come on and be your beautiful self. Ladies, let's ride, walk in that life that we know we got, unashamed, unapologetic, and say, if you don't love me, then you didn't miss it, okay?
That's right. Now, that's one thing that I think maybe has helped me finally understand. There's nothing anyone can think, say, or do to me that changes the reality of who I am. So once I know who I am, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, says, or does. So I should never worry about being offended by somebody else's words or thoughts because they can't change the reality of who I am.
You know,
I am the expression of God.
None of your business.
They can't
tell
you that
who you are. Right. I can't think about you as none of your business.
None of my business.
You
know, that's in their head.
You know, folks will call you whatever you want, but you answer to who you are.
There you go.
You don't answer to any name.
That's
okay.
Right. Answer to
so
only
now,
the name you
to
are.
Make your way towards this place called self-love. Some things may need rethinking, like being mindful of. So what you think, say, and feel, you allow to dominate. We allow to dominate our bodies. What actions we take, how we react, our reactions are involuntary. You know, our reactions are involuntary, okay? It's like the knee thing that hits the knee and the
knee
jerk.
Yeah.
Okay.
The response.
Emotional,
yeah.
Intellectual, physical
response.
Then voluntary, we have responses to certain things, but there's a reaction. So beliefs and choices. And then your reactions will begin to change as well. Choices, every choice you make has a consequence. Now, we have control over the choices, but we don't always have control over the consequence of the choices that we make. So be mindful of the choices that we make all the time, okay? So when
and
we
don't say the devil made you do it. Don't say the devil made you do it, okay?
Don't blame the devil.
I'm telling you, give the devil too much credit.
I know.
Give the devil too much credit. You let yourself do it because
that's
you know
right.
How to stop yourself from going to the refrigerator at 1 o'clock in the morning eating chili or whatever, knowing you should have done it. You didn't stop yourself from letting some sneeze ball enter your body.
Yes.
Or you were horny. Okay.
Hey, that was a choice. If you made that choice, live with that
choice.
Don't blame nobody.
Your life is a reflection of your beliefs because we act from our beliefs.
Act from our beliefs.
So be careful what we believe. Now, belief, because we believe a thing, does not make it true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we need to evaluate the things that we believe and let it be based on principles and not on just something the news broadcaster said or what our friends say or what some book said. We need to base our life on principle, not on hearsay. Okay?
Okay.
And repeat those principles and go back over those. Increase them so that you can bear more fruit, you know? I agree. And that's a word that I hear rarely, principle.
Yeah.
And you know, references to a lot of different texts of scripture and whatever. But what are the principles? Because
what
is principles? And then divine principles. Divine principles precede biblical principles. And you know, and so the ants follow those principles, the trees follow those principles, connecting with nature. Let us know that the divine is in everything that lives and breathes.
Yes, it is. The divine
is in everything that lives and breathes.
And
when we learn those principles, and they don't have a choice, trees and bees
and
whatever, but we do.
The thing is, what is principle? Okay, what is principle? And principle is the fundamental truth. It is divine. Divine principle is fundamental truth of the universal sense or as pertaining to God, the divine. It is the underlying plan by which spirit of God moves in expressing itself. The oversoul of this planet, which works its way into expression through Jesus. Principle is unchanging. God is principle, okay? It's unchanging. It stays the same. Principle works regardless of who works it. Principle stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
God, immanent in the universe. I'm reading this from the Revealing Word by Charles Fillmore. God, immanent in the universe, is the great underlying cause of all manifestations, the source from which form proceeds. Although principle is formless, it is that by which all form is produced. Principle is I am, which is the Christ within us. It's absolute, okay? Does not change. So that's what principle is. And there are many. That's just one principle.
Lies.
It works that way. That is the principle. God's word is principle.
It's a state of being.
That state of being, you can find it in everything that lives and breathes.
Absolutely.
In everything that lives and breathes.
Because in everything.
And that's why so many times we fail in our caring for our earth and our trees and our nature. It's because we don't realize that we are a part of what they are. They were here before we were.
Right.
And everything gets respect to us. Then eventually nature turns on us because Mother Earth says, what did you say, Rosemary? There's a payback.
Absolutely.
We do things continuously because we get a payoff. We have to complain and carry on, but we're getting something out of our lives being the way it is. It can be better if we change our mind about it, okay?
But like you're saying, some people enjoy just being able to complain about something because that means they're not taking responsibility for having created the condition they're living in.
That's right.
They're complaining about their husband. People are sympathizing with them and said, oh, poor whoever, you know, and they get satisfaction out of it.
See, I'm right because everybody's agreeing with me.
They're not trying to make anything any better. They just want to complain about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it goes like it says, oh, don't wrestle with pigs because they don't mind getting money.
Right. They don't mind getting money.
You know, so. Don't
rush.
Yeah, hello.
Down there wallowing with them. Well, they don't mind getting muddy.
When I said about the slap.
who wants to have a last word, you're welcome to press 1. We only have about 3 more minutes for our show. And so if you want to have a few seconds to...
Area code 504, did you have a last word? Area code 504, did you have a last word?
I think I might have something here. Let me see. I'm sure I said the right thing here.
You know the number?
I'm going to say when joy is missing from your life, it shows.
Mm. Oh, honey, yeah.
When you are, many of us, whether, are experiencing a joy shortage, in our lives, it shows. And we may not realize the symptoms, we may not realize the symptoms that we may be experiencing, but everybody else sees it, okay? So when we are having a lack of joy in our life, it really shows. And I'm going to give you a few of the most common telltale signs of not having enough joy in your life.
Mm.
Now, you don't have to take out a piece of paper, but being unfocused, unfulfilled, easily angered, frequently upset, restless, defensive. But I really didn't want to leave on a note like this. Be joyful.
Wear a smile. If you can't feel in your heart, put it on your face and fool your body.
It's true.
Yeah.
Hey, let you find your joy. It's there. You don't have to look for Mr. Goodbar. It's right inside of you.
The joy is just in you. Yeah, I didn't want to leave on a native note like that.
Well, you know.
You're looking for Mr. Goodbar in all the right, all the wrong places.
Joy
is in you.
Joy is apparent, let me tell you. Joy just makes you beautiful. It's confidence. You just feel so good when you love yourself. And I don't care. You know, beauty, it just makes you beautiful. It's like when you got a whole lot of money and confidence, you just get beautiful. Like Scottie Pippen, you know, he just got really handsome all of a sudden.
And we got 90 seconds, and we want to thank you all for being with us. And we are so happy that you stayed with us through these little rumbling times that we had in the beginning. But you see, we're still beautiful.
That's
we made
right.
it through in victory. So God bless you. I love you. Know that you're strong.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Basiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong-kujung, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi,